a book and a piece of paper and something to write with. This is going to be a little different than what you're used to. I just want you to take notes. You young people, pay attention because we're going to start with you. No, thank you. So your lesson today is what? Okay, Jesus overcomes the grave. So open your books up. I'm going to read down through the scripture. So now I want you to pay attention and read along, follow along. Don't just listen to me, but pay attention now. There's a reason I'm saying pay attention. Has everybody got that? Pay attention.
Listen to
him or else. Okay. Do what?
Listen to
you or else. That's right. So in Mark chapter 16, starting with verse 1, it says, it says, and when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, be not affrighted, ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen, for he is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter, that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed, neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Close your books. Is everybody's book closed?
It's closed.
Now, what I want you to do is on your piece of paper, and do it in very few words. Don't write a whole book. I want you to tell me what stuck out to you in these scriptures. I told you, pay attention. Do we need to read it again?
Yeah.
Come on. One word, two words. Are you young people writing? Because you're going first. It can be one word. Don't cheat. Don't look at the board. Don't look at the TV. How are we doing?
Terrible.
Terrible.
I'm paying attention, but I'm hard.
Huh?
I'm paying attention, but I didn't understand it.
Has everybody got something written down? Anybody got anything written down? Okay. All right. Lindsay, what'd you write down?
I wrote about high because I understood it, but I didn't, like I was paying attention, but I didn't understand.
Okay. Well, just tell me something I read.
Come and anoint him.
Okay. 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 Trinity, any of the rest of you? No?
Can you reread it to us?
No, I'm going to reread it in a minute, but then we're going to do something else. So, okay, Judy.
Be not afraid. The angel said, be not afraid.
Do what now?
The angel said, be not afraid.
Okay. So, fear. You not to be afraid. Very good. Somebody else. That's why you had to. Are you guys cheating?
Yeah, mine's different. He is not here.
He is not here. Very good. Somebody else.
I said they had to wait till the Sabbath was over before they could actually do physical work.
So okay.
That was the first thing.
All right.
Women.
So, huh?
It was women.
It was women.
It was all women.
Was that prejudiced or no good? No, that was a good. That's a good point.
That's one of our women, isn't it? Yeah.
All right, somebody else.
I found a man that was dressed in white and said he is not here.
Okay, very good.
Who rolled the stone?
Okay, very good. All right, somebody else.
Who was the guy in the tent?
Huh?
Who was the guy in the tent?
Who was the guy what?
In the tomb.
Oh, who was the guy in the tomb?
Yeah.
Would have been an angel.
Okay. I put down the angel.
I put down when they went there, it was like the finality. The woman went there, he wasn't there anymore. So that represented that the salvation had come, the new church age had moving in.
Okay, very good.
Too deep, Diane.
We're going to get into more of that here in a minute. Okay, somebody else.
She cheated. She paid too much attention.
Sorry.
That was the whole point, was to pay attention.
Oh.
Somebody else. Give me something else.
I would just wrote Mary Magdalene.
Mary Magdalene, okay. Anybody?
Well, it says Mary, the mother of James, but is that also the mother of Jesus? Right?
Sure. Yes. Yep. Very good. All right, we're starting to get there.
And of course, Solomon is the mother of the sons of thunder.
Okay. Yep.
70.
All right. Anybody else? Anything else?
So who was the sons of thunder? I forget.
John and James.
Okay.
Wait, were they actually like the sons of thunder? Did they make thunder?
They made a lot of noise.
They made a lot of noise, yeah.
Like you and Trinity.
That's why they didn't
call them. No, I was just confused.
Okay, somebody else? No? So is that all we learned? And the next part's going to get a little harder, so you better stick on this part for a little bit.
Okay.
All right, open your books back up. Now I'm going to read it one more time.
Slowly?
Okay, I'll read it slower. I'm going to read it one more time. And then we're going to do something a little bit different. Is everybody ready? Mark 16, verse 1. There's only 8 verses, so by the time we read it, you ought to memorize them. Now, I want you to pay attention this time, because this question is going to be a little different. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came into the sepulcher at the rising of the sun, and they said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulcher?" And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, "Be not affrighted, you seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen, he is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter, that he goeth before you into Galilee, there shall ye see him, and he said unto you." And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulcher, for they trembled and were amazed, neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Okay, you can leave your books open this time. But here's what we're going to do. We're going to go to prayer. And what I want you to write on your paper this time is, I want you to write what the Holy Spirit reveals to you personally, about something in this passage of Scripture. And then, and if you don't know where the Bible verse is or whatever, we'll look it up. You just, if you know part of the verse. But then I want you to think and let the Holy Spirit reveal to you another verse of Scripture as well that pertains to whatever He is bringing to your mind. So you got that?
Not really.
So I want you to look. See, a lot of times when we study, we see the Scripture and we pay a lot of attention to the Scripture, but a lot of times we only pay attention to the characteristics that we're given. And every Scripture has something in it that the Holy Spirit wants to reveal unto us. And it could be something concerning something going on in your life, something that you're going through, something that you're helping somebody else with. So that's what I want from you. What is it that the Holy Spirit is showing you? And then, anytime the Holy Spirit shows you something through the Scripture, He's going to reveal other places in the Word of God as well to confirm whatever it is He's trying to show us in our life. So that's what I want you to do. And if you can't think of a verse and you just know part of the verse, just jot down the part of the verse that you know, and we'll look it up. That's what we have Google for. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer. And I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal something unto you, something meaningful that He wants to show you through this passage of Scripture. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to You this morning. Lord, we're truly thankful for Your Word. And we would just pray this day, Lord, that You would show us through Your Word. Lord, show us what You would have us to see that would help us, Lord, in our life, through our day, through the days ahead that we have coming. And help us, Heavenly Father, to understand through the wisdom and the knowledge of Your Word just a little bit more how we can be obedient to You, Heavenly Father. So we just pray this day, Lord, that as we look into Your Word, that through Your Holy Spirit, You would reveal unto us that which You would have us to see and to share with one another. And all these things we ask in Thy most precious and holy name. And amen. Okay. Does somebody want to start us out with something?
You were scared?
Huh?
Say that one more time.
They were too scared to speak. Okay, so how can we apply that to our life. Being scared.
I think if you weren't here this morning, some of them were scared.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
What's the inside story on that?
Huh?
I said, what's the inside story on that?
What's the inside story?
Yeah, it's been a lot of reference to you not being here.
Well,
you being here.
The last couple days, and I shouldn't say it, but I never get sick. My wife and I was trying to figure out when the last time we were sick, and it's been years, why I got some kind of stomach virus.
Because you jinxed yourself.
Maybe. So I waited till 6 o'clock last night to call people in case I couldn't be here. So I thanked the ones that were going to step up and help, but Darlene was actually going to preach.
Yeah.
Jody was going to do communion, and Debbie was going to do the Sunday school lesson. So I'm very thankful that there was people willing to step up and make sure that the service continued. So,
and
so then they all started praying for me because so, and I was thankful that I could be here, but I never get sick, but I did.
But you have to be here too because we let him know that he had to bring a note. Or if he was sick from his wife verifying that she would write him notes.
Yeah. Okay, so fear. Worldly fear has probably the greatest effect on our life than anything else. And Satan uses that to control us, even though we don't think he's controlling us. But Satan uses worldly fear. So somebody give me an instant over the last day or two of worldly fear that controlled your life. Anybody?
Last night.
Well, it's not for me, but I know that last Sunday there was a young lady that had worldly fear of standing in front of a church hall of people that she was not comfortable with.
Yeah.
And she pulled somebody alongside her that she was comfortable to stand by and do her job.
And she done a good job.
Yes, she did.
But We can take anything, storms, sickness, car wreck, and Satan will use that to control our life. Anything that he can use to keep us from being thankful, from being joyful, he's going to use those things to, he cannot take the joy of your salvation away. But he can hinder it if we allow him to do that. So fear, and that's one of the things that was talked about in your lesson, was the fear that they had when they went to the tomb and, of course, Christ not being there.
And they were so scared that even though they were supposed to go back and tell people, it said at the very end that they were afraid to even...
Yeah, they didn't want to.
No, they were so afraid.
Yes.
That they didn't think that they could do that.
So that's one thing that we have to get over in our life in Christ is that fear of telling somebody else about Christ.
Well, and don't forget the emotion of love, which is what took them to the grave in the first place.
Right.
Their deep love.
Yes. Okay, very good, Lindsay.
Thank you.
Okay, who's next? Go ahead.
He's not there.
He's not there.
But he's with me.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
He's not there, he's here.
That's right. So that is, I think there are times in all of our lives, and it's a very hard lesson to learn that as a believer, you're never alone, but yet there's times that we probably feel alone.
I tell my kids all the time.
Huh?
I tell my kids all the time. They say, I don't want to be alone. I say, you're never alone. He's right there beside you.
That's right.
If you need someone to talk to, you might not see him, but he's there. He might not answer you the right way, but he will. He's there.
Yes. Okay, very good. Somebody else.
Their fear, and well, not really fear, but their concern about how they were going to get that stone rolled away from the tomb. And God always, when something, we know that we've got to face something, how God always can step in and help move the stone away out of our pathway.
Yeah, see, most of the concerns that we have in life are worldly. And that's part of what you see going on here. So Christ tries to teach us that the things of the world are not concerns at all. But we tend to make them concerns in our life. And the more that we do that, the less effective we are in our life in Christ. So the more we get involved in things out here in the world, Satan cannot take away your salvation, but he's just as happy to do what?
Use it against you.
Sure.
Keep.
He's just as happy. He knows he can't take your salvation away from you, but he's just as happy if he can get you to a place in your life that you're not showing your salvation to others, that you're not living that the way God wants us to live.
If he can get you in that dark spot, then he's happy.
Sure.
Satan can get you in that dark spot.
Sure.
Yes.
Right. And that's what happens a lot in our life. We choose, and I say that because anything that happens to us in our life, it's due to the choices that we make. We don't always make good choices. So we choose. And when we do, then Satan can use that to keep us from our joy in the Lord.
It's kind of like, I feel like he was holding me back because I was at the hospital and I got shots down my back, and this young lady came in a wheelchair, and you could see that she was scared. And I thought, I need to go pray for her. But I sat there. And then finally I said, no, I need to go pray for her. And I walked over and I says, do you care if I pray for you? And she says, no, I don't care. And when she came out, she says, thank you. She said, I wasn't half as scared after you prayed for me.
Yes. So it's all about following the Holy Spirit. That's why the Holy Spirit indwells within us, is so that we might follow after that in our life. And if you remember, Christ said that one of the greatest things that the Holy Spirit was going to do for us, of course, everybody likes the part where Christ said, I'm going to send back a comforter, because we all want comforted. But the way he does it is, he said the Holy Spirit is going to reveal the truth to you in all things. Now, sometimes revealing the truth to us doesn't seem very comforting, does it? But it would depend on how we see the truth that is revealed. If we see it the way God wants us to see it, then it's always going to be comforting, because it's always, God is always trying to raise us up into a new level of a relationship with Him. And the only way He can do that is by revealing things unto us in our life. And a lot of times there are things that are not pleasing unto Him, but He reveals them so that we'll turn those things over to Him so that He might be able to work in our life. Then our relationship with God grows stronger.
Sometimes we have to take the consequences first and then...
Sure. And you understand that there is consequences to everything that we do. Now, consequences could be blessings. Consequences could be judgment or wrath of God. But everything that we do has consequences to it. So for those that I have heard say all the time, well, I done this, but I asked for forgiveness, so that'll be the end of it. Nothing else is going to happen. Don't think that in your life, because yes, you must ask for forgiveness for those things, but no, that doesn't mean there's still not going to be consequences to it somewhere along the line.
That's like where he tells the women to go tell the disciples, and he specifically picked out Peter. He probably would have Judas too, but he hung himself. But anyways, I think that's why, because he wanted to let Peter know that he is forgiven.
Right. Mm-hmm. Very good.
One thing too, with that for me, I seem like I'm reminded daily that the important part is the being obedient to God and letting Him take those burdens. I mean, if you turn them over, like you say, the consequences are not always going to be good. Sometimes they'll be sad or depressing, but God is there to, and the Holy Spirit is there to tell you, I am going to help you through it. You may not feel like you will get through it, but you will, because I'm going to be with you the whole time. And to me, that's comforting. That's
yes.
Comforting knowing that.
Yes.
Well, I wrote on my paper about where they were worried about the stone not being rolled away, because mm-hmm. that stone was heavy.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And the verse I wrote to go with it was, to cast all your cares.
Oh, very good.
Because we weren't supposed to carry these heavy burdens alone, but honestly, it says all your cares. Mm-hmm. We weren't supposed to carry any of our burdens alone.
You're so right. I'm looking that verse up so we can read it. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7. Let's go there. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7.
Well, it starts with 6.
Yes. Who said that? That's a good idea. So starting with verse 6, he says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may what? Exalt you or lift you up. Now listen to the last part. In what?
In due time.
Whose time is that?
Yes.
His. Is any of you impatient like me? When I want something, I want it when?
Yesterday.
Yeah, yesterday, right now. So he says, in due time, and he says, casting all your care upon Him for what?
He careth
for you. So that very, very good verse there to go along with what she said. Because first of all, we understand, if we're not humble, we're never going to get there. So we have to humble. In order to be obedient, we have to be humble. So And when we're humble, then he says, we'll start paying attention to those things that God wants to do to lift us up in our life in him. But it's got to be his timing. It cannot be our own timing. And as we go along, see, casting all your cares upon him, that's a lifetime achievement. Let's put it that way. Because you're not going to do it all at one time. You can't do it all at one time. Because things, cares that you have today that you might give to him and get rid of, you're going to have a whole new set of them tomorrow. So this is something that goes on for a lifetime. But listen to what he goes on to say. He said, be sober, be vigilant. And here he's telling you, because the adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. So he said, this whom resist, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So that when you read that, now you cannot say, well, somebody's got to feel sorry. This ain't never happened to nobody else but me. Have you ever heard that before?
Only me.
Only me. That's right. So we want to have a pity party for ourselves now. So.
Yeah, I had to say, when my daughter was in the hospital, and I was like, dear Lord, why? And then I thought, well, you know what? There's people in here worse off than she is.
Sure. So it's very important to learn to resist. Where else in the Bible does it tell you that?
Resist the devil and he will flee from you.
Yes. So let's go look at that verse real quick. James 4:7. Well, James ain't in my Bible, so. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. So the resisting is the key. Now, You have a lot of people that'll teach and preach and say, anytime you come up against Satan, then the first thing you're supposed to do is rebuke the devil. And there is times that might be the case. But you cannot rebuke what you don't resist. So if you've invited it in there, you can't rebuke it. That's why he's very adamant about saying resist. You've got to stay away from those things. And that's very hard to do because Satan is going to tempt you in your life with the things that you like the most. And you don't think he knows what you like the most? He knows exactly what you like. And those are the things that he's going to tempt you with. Now, does that mean it's probably going to be things that you and I don't look at as being sinful? Do you understand that? So you can think about in your life, because what you believe to be sinful and what I believe to be sinful is probably going to be two different things. So if you don't believe that to be sinful, and it's not up to me to tell you that it's sinful, that has to come from God through the leadership and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So if you don't believe it to be sinful, but it's not pleasing unto God, Satan is going to use that to keep that in your life because He knows it's not pleasing unto God. And he doesn't want you to understand that it's not pleasing unto God. So he's going to do everything that he can to keep you in that spot. Because the longer that he can keep us there, the more it hinders our relationship with the Lord.
Well, he even takes things that, not just that you'd like, but the things that you love. How many times do you feel like you're attacked by the devil when something happens to someone in your family? Well,
sure.
Not even yourself, your children, your husband, your wife, or whatever. And the devil is hoping that you will blame God for their illness, their sickness, their death, whatever.
Right.
So it's not even things that you would consider that's a bad thing to worry and be upset about something happening to someone in your family. But the devil likes to use those kind of things, your love for others even, to pull you away from God. So puts those things in your mind, you know. So
that's true. Why do you think, what did God tell Abraham when God was ready to start using Abraham for his service? And what was the one thing that he told him to get him going in the right direction? He said, get thee what? Out of thy country and away from thy kindred. You remember? Mm-hmm. Why? Because God knew that was going to be his biggest and greatest downfall, was going to be that. So I'm looking for a verse here.
Hey, where you read in James? Verse 10 pretty well sums it up, doesn't it?
In what?
In James 4, verse 10 down there, pretty well sums it up.
Read that to me.
Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up.
Yes. Yeah. So in Luke, and you'll find it also in Mark, but this was Christ when he was teaching. But in Luke chapter 4, verse 24, it says, and he said, and this is Christ saying, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. So he tried to warn his disciples, and he also tries to warn us that the biggest hurdle that you're going to have in your life in Christ is going to be the one caused by your closest family and friends. And you don't know.
Not only that, those are the hardest people for you to witness to and try and reach for Christ.
Sure.
Because they know you before.
Sure.
I have a brother. He believed. We were brought up in church.
Yeah.
And when my mom passed away, he just lost his faith.
Yep.
And I tried and I tried. It's not God's will.
Yep.
She was sick.
I get people all the time that tells me they'll never come to where I pastor because they knew what I was like when I was younger. Yeah, I was pretty terrible when I was younger. But
I knew a lady that her husband went to church one or two times. She told him he better never go back to church or there'd be trouble.
Oh, yeah. Hmm. Okay, somebody else, what did you get? Come on.
I gave you one.
You did. You done good, Lindsay.
Yeah.
Who else has something? So you'll notice that you all that get what I write up for my Sunday school lesson. If you don't get it and you'd like to have it, I just need an email address. But you're going to find out that sometimes you might read what I write and say, what does this have to do with the Sunday school lesson? Anybody have done that? My wife. I know my sister, Darlene. Okay, so this is why we're doing this little exercise, because what I write, and just let me show you. I brought this with me just to show you kind of how I study. Now, see these little notebooks? This one is about clear full of scribbling, and so isn't this one. This was one Sunday school lesson and one sermon. I buy them by the box. So when you get what I write for my Sunday school lesson, it might not pertain exactly to the scripture, but it's what God wanted me to get out of the scripture. And I want to share that. So I would expect everybody to do that. Because if we're just reading and going through the motions of the scripture, you're not getting what the Holy Spirit is trying to reveal to you.
There's times that I'll read through something and maybe just one word pops out at me. And
yes.
I don't know exactly what that means. So I'll Google it and ask what that means. And then that leads me to another scripture, which leads me to something else. And
yes.
Then something will hit me and I'll be like, oh, you know, I didn't know I was getting that out of this lesson.
Yes.
But it was there. It was something different. But it still pertained, but yeah.
So that's what the Holy Spirit is trying to reveal to you. And that's where we need to... There's nothing wrong with learning the history of the Scripture. We have to... If you go over into 2 Timothy... Let's go over and read that verse real quick. 2 Timothy... Is it 2:15?
Yes.
2 Timothy 2:15. Let me try to explain this real quick. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God. So this is what we're doing. So if you're going to teach, you're going to preach, you're going to whatever it is that you're going to do, don't try to do it because you want somebody else to be pleased about it. You're going to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. So that means if it's revealed to you by the Holy Spirit, then there's going to be no, it's going to be pleasing unto God. People around you might not like it too well, but it's going to be pleasing unto God. So therefore, there is no shame in revealing what God shows you. And then he says, rightly dividing the word of truth. So here's what this means. The Bible's written to three different groups of people. First of all, the Israelite people, which is God's wife. Second of all, the believer, which is Christ's bride, the body of Christ, the church, and the sinner. So when we're studying, and this, it means more, we'll get to that. So when we're studying, God wants us to see, first of all, to whom it was written. Because we have to know in order to understand what he's trying to say. So this is where we learn the history of the scripture. So once we begin to learn that, now, do you know there's churches around that only have Bibles that have the New Testament in it, excluding Revelation? Because they don't believe the part about Revelation, and they don't think they need the Old Testament because it's the Old Testament.
It's just history.
But you can't understand the rest of the... If you don't study at all, you can't understand. See, the Old Testament was the law. And the law was given. And then when Christ came, he said, I came to what? Fulfill the law. He didn't say, I came to do away with the law. He said, I came to fulfill the law. So that means everything that was written, even though it was written, the Old Testament, even though it was written to God's wife, which was Israel, doesn't mean that it doesn't pertain to us. So we understand that he wrote this, the Old Testament. We understand why he wrote it, to whom he wrote it. But now I have to pray and say, Lord, let your Holy Spirit reveal to me what you want me to see through it. Because there's going to be something there. So we have to learn to rightly divide the word of truth. So once we begin to understand who that it was written to and why he wrote it, now I have to understand, why did you take me there to begin with? What do you want me to learn from this passage of Scripture? So this is what Paul, he was trying to explain this to Timothy. Timothy's are hard-headed. See, y'all agree with that, huh? Okay. So he was trying to explain to Timothy exactly how we should learn to understand what the Scripture is all about. If you jump right on over into chapter 3, verse 16, here's what he said. All Scripture is given by what? Inspiration of God. If he didn't want us to have it, it wouldn't be here. So that means he wants us to study it. And he wants to reveal something to us through it. So he said, it is profitable for doctrine. Now, what's he talking about? Doctrine.
Rules to live by.
Sure. I'm not talking about church doctrine now. Every church has their own doctrine and says, here's how you ought to be living your life. If you got one of them little books, throw it in the garbage. Because this is the only book that you need. So the doctrine of Christ, which all points to what? Salvation. If it doesn't point to salvation, if you're reading it and studying it, it's not the Bible, but something else, and it doesn't point to salvation, get rid of it. Because it's got to be about salvation. So he said, profitable for doctrine. Then he said, it's profitable for reproof. Anybody?
Correction.
Facts.
Facts. So in your life, so here's four things, and I've told you these before. You got redemption, justification, sanctification, glorification. Redemption is what Christ done for us on the cross. Justification is what we accept because of what Christ done for us on the cross. Sanctification is this process of reproof. When did that start in your life? Sure, the moment you were saved. When does it end? When you go on to be with the Lord. Okay? So this is what reproof is. Glorification. When does that start? Now think about it.
Your glorified body is your heavenly body, right?
When you accept God.
What did you say?
When you accept God.
There you go. Lindsay got it. Most people think that they have to wait till they go on to be with the Lord to be glorified. Why can't you experience it now while you're here upon this earth?
Same thing with eternal life.
Huh?
The same thing with eternal life.
Sure. Why do we say we have to wait to experience something that God wants us to be living now in our life? So it all started at the time of our salvation, at the time we were justified. Now, do you see, and you can't be judgmental, but do you see people walking around that claim to be believers, but they don't seem to be very glorious believers? So we've been taught all of our life that things, this happens here, this happens here, this happens here. You'll never find that in the Bible. God said when it happened, it happened. And now you have to choose to live it. So he said the next thing, doctrine, reproof. Then he says for correction. Correction is where we get our spiritual growth. It's the things that God shows us to help us to grow spiritually in our life. And we cannot get that without, he says, for instruction in righteousness. So there's three things that we need from God. We need wisdom. We need knowledge, and it's not any good without understanding. So where does your understanding come from? And please don't say the preacher.
The Holy Bible, the Holy Spirit.
Okay. Your understanding has to come from God. Now, I can share with you understanding that I get. You can share with me understanding that you get from God, but it has to come from God. If you're living according to somebody else's understanding, then we're not living according to God.
Don't depend on understanding from a worldly view.
Right.
Man's understanding is not always the
same. No. Now that doesn't mean that you can't get something good out of what somebody is sharing, understanding that God has given them, but you just can't. I had a guy tell me one time, and I've probably told you this. He said he went to a Billy Graham crusade. He said, I shook hands with Billy Graham. He said, that's all I needed. He said, I got my understanding. One of these days I'll go on to be with the Lord because I shook Billy Graham's hand. You can shake my hand if you want. You might get sick.
That's kind of like walking into a garage doesn't make you a car.
That's right. So he says that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So perfect doesn't mean perfection in the way that we think of it. Perfect means you or me in the eyes of God. So your perfection in the eyes of God is going to be different than my perfection in the eyes of God. Now one of these days we will, when we get rid of this mortal body, we get our immortal body, then we'll understand then truly what perfection is all about. But for now, we strive for that in Christ Jesus. So your perfection in the Lord is going to be different than my perfection in the Lord. Okay, somebody else. Something in a Bible verse to go with it. Got to hurry up because we got to quit.
We don't have to pray, but we just have to recite next time. Wait until next time.
Anybody else that God revealed to you something through those few verses of Scripture?
Well, this may be completely off base, but what I thought is, I will not forsake you. I am here.
Okay. Very good.
So no matter But he's here.
Christ is always
with you.
Always with. Now, so there is a verse in the Bible, if I could find it real quick. There is a verse in the Bible that actually said, Christ himself said, that I live within you. There's not too many verses that specifically say different things. But God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, they all dwell within us. How? Through the Holy Spirit. Because when we were saved, then that's one of the things that we received, because he said we were sealed by the Spirit of God, sealed by the Holy Spirit. So even though there are three different entities, they are as one. So if you've got one, you've got them all. You understand that? You don't get one and years later get another one, and then years later get another one. If you got one, you got them all. So the Spirit that lives within us is what helps to reveal unto us those things that God wants us to understand as we live our life down here upon this earth. So when you read like this passage of scripture today, we might look at some of this as not being too significant. You know, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, Salome brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. You might, you know, sometimes verses like that we just read through. But there's a significance to those. But we'll never find it if we don't ask God to reveal that to us. And we're not going to find it if we're only wanting revealed to us the significance of Mary and Mary and the anointing. We got to understand what is God trying to show me through that. How am I going to apply that to my life? And I can tell you, he'll give you something to apply to your life out of that, if we'll ask him. So every verse of scripture that God has given us in the Bible, there's an application to it for us. So that's what we need as we're studying the Sunday school lessons, as we study whatever it is that God is given to us to study. We need to learn, like he told Timothy, we've got to learn to study to show ourselves approved unto God, so that we might be workmen that need not be ashamed, so that we might rightly divide the word of truth. And when we do this, then maybe you'll understand what I send you. Maybe not. But maybe you'll begin to understand it a little bit.
When the apostles received the Holy Spirit, that was after Jesus was resurrected and was in the upper room with them.
Yes.
So is that why then so many of the things that we would read before that, and we would think, how could they not understand that? How could they not figure that out? But they didn't have the Holy Spirit yet.
No.
To have that understanding.
Right. The Holy Spirit was given on the day of Pentecost. Now, the Holy Spirit was here in the beginning. If you remember, it was present in the garden with Adam and Eve. But because of what?
Sin.
The Holy Spirit left. If you remember when it said in the cool of the day, when God came walking and Adam said, I hid myself because I was afraid, because I was naked. He wasn't talking about physically. He was naked because the moment they transgressed, the Holy Spirit left. So he and Adam knew that. So all throughout the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit visited. If you remember, you read lots of scripture where it said that the prophets of old were given as the Holy Spirit anointed them or visited them. So then once Christ came, and you remember he told his disciples, he said, you guys don't want me to go, but I have to go, because if I don't go, then the Comforter can't come. And he knew we needed the Comforter. He knew we needed the Holy Spirit. So on the day of Pentecost, it said when they were all gathered in the upper room, then the Holy Spirit was given. Now, there's a lot of confusion when the Holy Spirit was given, because this is when the Pentecostal church kind of was born, because it said that they all begin to speak in tongues, and so don't get confused. There is no other language. Or when it said they all begin to speak in tongues, if you go in Acts chapter 2 and read that, there was many, many different nationalities present at that time. And the reason it said that they were all able to hear each other in their own tongue was because the Holy Spirit allowed the disciples and some of those people that could not speak another language, the Holy Spirit allowed them to be able to speak another language so that everybody could understand what God was trying to say. Do you understand that?
It would be like us immediately being able to speak Latin, having never taken a Latin.
Sure. So, and when that happened, they said, they presumed that some of them were drunk, and, you know, if you drink, do you speak other languages? I don't know. You babble. But, so this is what that was talking about. So, I know that wouldn't be very popular with Pentecostal people, but that's what it was talking about.
So when we get to heaven, I guess we'll understand each other even if we're just moaning.
That's right.
Moaning.
Okay, anybody else? Okay, we probably didn't get through the lesson, but my intention wasn't really to get through the lesson. It was to...
Well, tell me here.